Welcome to this week's Personal Finance Podcast. I'm Lenora Walters, and joining me today are Emma Ajimang, Personal Finance Writer at Investors Chronicle, and Peter Walls, Manager of Unicorn Master Trust. Peter, Unicorn Master Trust is a fund of funds, so you don't invest its assets directly in equities or bonds. What kinds of funds do you invest in, and what is Unicorn Master Trust's aim?
Master Trust's aim really is to deliver capital growth over the long term, primarily by investing in a range of listed investment companies. So it's quite straightforward. I view it as perhaps a one-stop shop for people that can recognise the advantages of investment trusts, but perhaps are deterred by some of their complexities.
What would you say are the differences between putting together a portfolio of investment trusts and one of, say, direct holdings in equities or bonds?
In some respects, I'd say it's a lot easier as there's much less stock-specific risk and a greater degree of diversification. Direct holdings that don't perform according to expectations can be severely punished by the stock market. So a portfolio of investment trusts should allow you to sleep more easily at night.
Or would you say there are any other advantages to running a portfolio of funds or investment trusts?
Oh, plenty. Investment trusts are going to be celebrating 150 years in existence next year. And they've generally outperformed relative to their open-ended cousins. So, investment trusts are undoubtedly the best structure for getting exposure to less liquid assets and long-term investments, which may include specialist trusts investing in biotechnology or unquoted investment, and indeed smaller companies around the world.
Okay, now would you say that there are any limitations to investing in a portfolio of funds or investment trusts rather than direct securities such as equities or bonds?
I think the obvious disadvantage is that investors have two layers of charges, the charge for the fund of funds and then the charges levied by the underlying portfolio holdings. Clearly, when you look at a fund of funds, the performance numbers should account for all of those charges. And there are also some areas in the investment trust world that aren't particularly well represented in the sector, such as North American trusts or traditional bond funds. But generally, there's a very good spread and availability of funds in the sector.
Okay, now turning to the world that you invest in, what type of investment trust do you like at the moment? What's looking good for whatever reason?
Yeah, well, I think we've had a fantastic run in markets, despite many people thinking of this as the most despised bull market of all time. We've had the rising tide, which has lifted all boats in many respects. So it's been, a strong period of performance. And investment trust ratings, are correlated with rising markets. So as markets rise, discounts narrow. And we have discounts really at probably the narrowest level in my experience at the moment. What I've tried to do within the portfolio is to introduce some holdings in some more classic value-orientated funds. Value has really underperformed against growth for a long time now. So I've been adding to positions in the likes of Aberforth smaller companies and taking a slightly more defensive stance through the likes of BH Global, which is a hedge fund.
Okay, now are there any areas of the investment trust world you're concerned about at the moment?
I think the sort of quest for income has seen an upsurge in demand for income-generating alternative funds. And while this is clearly understandable, given interest rates where they are today, I think there will come a time when demand tails off. I think you've got to remember that investment trusts are their shares are just pieces of paper. And the printing presses have been whirring in the alternative space in the last few years. In fact, alternative investment trusts are fast approaching 50% of the value of the entire investment trust universe. So the supply is infinite, and clearly demand does fluctuate and will fluctuate in in the future. So, you know, I think some of the areas, quite vulnerable to seeing their premium ratings run off over time, and in some cases turning to discounts.
What would be examples?
We've already seen in the peer-to-peer lending area and some of the more specialist property funds, if things disappoint, you do see quite a big change in the rating. I think you've got to be careful to fully understand the underlying investment policy and the exposure, be confident in the outlook for those assets.
Okay, and are you totally avoiding these because of these problems?
Well, I think it probably goes back to the opening comment about the trust, the fund being about capital growth. So
right.
I don't have a particular requirement for income. So I'm not a natural buyer of this type of trust at present. Although clearly if value becomes more evident in the future, I would be a buyer.
Okay. Now, your top 10 holdings include some investment trusts that focus on or include some exposure to private equity. Why do you hold these?
Well, I mean, private equity has delivered superior long-term returns to public markets. And while the risks are clearly greater, the returns justify a weighting to listed private equity funds in my portfolio. Now, there are concerns at the moment about the amount of capital that's been raised, the dry powder among private equity managers. It seems to be a really strong seller's market at the moment. So there are concerns as to whether these trusts can replenish their portfolios in the coming years. And like all areas, it can be cyclical. We've had a good run of late in the private equity funds. We've seen discounts narrow quite appreciably, particularly since the Brexit vote. So they might tread water for a time, but I think over the long term, that exposure is worth having.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Some really interesting insights into your fund and the world of investment trusts. In 2016, UK commercial property had a difficult year, with investors so keen to pull out of this area that a number of open-ended property funds had to close to redemptions because they didn't have the cash to hand to meet them. But scroll on 2017 and the picture seems a bit different. Emma, how has UK commercial property been doing this year?
It's bounced back pretty strongly, Leonora. So last year, the Investment Property Data Bank monthly index made a total of 2.6%. But so far, up to October this year, the index has already made 8.6%.
OK, now you'd think this would restore confidence, but you've been speaking to someone who isn't so sure. Who is this?
That's right. I met up with Jason Bagley, who is the manager of Standard Life Investments Property Income Trust, and he just has some concerns about how long the current cycle can last.
Okay, so more specifically, you know, what is concerns on UK commercial property?
A few reasons, really. I mean, he's just got the feeling that the property cycle is quite late cycle now, and given recent performance has been better than expected with all the uncertainty surrounding the UK economy, he's just a bit, you know, uncertain about how long that can last. And in particular, Brexit is also weighing on his mind. He's worried about a slowdown, for example, in the economy, causing a slowdown in tenant demand.
Okay, so, I mean, is he all doom and gloom, or is there anything that he does thinks okay about UK commercial property? Because he does run a property fund, after
he does,
all.
He does.
Yeah.
No, he's certainly not all doom and gloom. And he says that, you know, the feeling is that he feels like it's quite late cycle, but at the same time, when he sort of drills down into what's concerning him, he can't actually put his finger on anything specific. And some of the reasons for that are that he says that overall interest rates have increased a little, they are still very low, and that means that the yield on the trust and real estate assets in general are still quite attractive compared to other asset classes. Also, as you all know, the supply of property is still quite constrained, and although, you know, he has this concern about tenant demand going forward, right now he thinks it's holding up.
Okay, so he's, well, in a bit of a dilemma, so he's admitting things okay. He's got these concerns. So is he trying to do anything about his concerns?
Yes, I mean, he's trying to sort of reduce risk in areas that he thinks, you know, it's better to reduce risk now. So, for example, he's recently exchanged contracts to sell the fund's second largest property, Elstree Tower, which is based in the Greater London area. And two reasons for this. One is that he was worried about the impact that Brexit would have on Greater London rents in the next 3 years, which is when the lease was due. And also the amount of work that the property would need to be refurbished to make it attractive to another tenant was something he was concerned about. So he decided to sell that property, and it sold for 2 million, or it will be exchanged for 2 million above its valuation.
Okay, so selling what he thinks might be a liability.
Yeah.
So has he stopped investing, and he's just selling, not investing?
Definitely not. No, I mean, the fund is, you know, very fully invested, and he thinks it's important for the fund to remain fully invested. And he's, you know, he says there are still opportunities out there, but as he describes it, they're more granular than they have been.
Okay, so has he invested in anything lately?
Yes, last month he bought a multi-let office, which is in Bracknell at One Station Square, for £12 million. And that reflects a yield of 6.9% on the top rent. The office has been quite recently substantially refurbished, and it's located, you know, right next to the station, so should have do well for all the commuters.
Okay, so this is a measured approach, and is he cutting his what might be a liability but sort of adding advantages? Mm-hmm. Is his approach paying off?
Yes, I mean, the fund has been performing well. Over 1 year, it has made 12%, which is ahead of the average return for UK Direct Property Investment Trust, which is around 11%. And it's also got a high yield of 5.2%. It's trading on a premium to net asset value of 5.3%.
Okay, income trust, so no surprises.
Mm.
Peter, what do you think about UK commercial property? Is it a good area to have exposure to at the moment?
Well, I think it certainly has a place in a diversified portfolio, but as Emma has mentioned, it is cyclical. And we have had quite a strong run, particularly over the last 5 years. So, you know, we've also, during that period, particularly after the referendum in the UK, seen quite a lot of dislocation, particularly in the open-ended funds sector. And that had a knock-on impact in the closed-end investment trust sector, with discounts moving around quite sharply after the vote. I think we've seen, within the property markets, we've seen more stability and better performance in regional markets rather than London since the vote. But, you know, I think there's still opportunities there. I really have never been able to figure out why a property fund should be in an open-ended structure. And I would like to see as many of those funds moving more towards a closed-end type structure in the future.
Mm. So do you have any commercial property investment trusts in your portfolio?
Well, we have seen some reduction in the premium ratings of those funds, but I haven't been tempted in yet.
Mm.
I do have some property exposure, but it's through a conventional trust, TR Property, which has some direct exposure in it. But I'm attracted by its European exposure more than anything else, because I think Europe is behind the cycle.
Yeah, I think that's a securities investment trust largely rather than a UK physical.
Right.
Property
indeed,
trust.
Indeed.
Okay. Just to elaborate a bit, you know, I mean, what do you like and what do you not like, let's say, about UK direct commercial property investment trusts?
Well, you know, clearly they offer attractive dividend yields, often with the ability to be able to grow those dividends over time. They sit within the closed-end structure, which, you know, as I've mentioned, is the most sensible way of investing in illiquid long-term investments. And there are some very good managers at large in the sector, which have proven track records in managing and maximising returns from their direct property portfolios.
Mm, who is anyone you'd particularly single out?
I don't think I would. In particular, no. No, I think in general there are differences between the styles and the underlying portfolios, but I can't think of anyone that I would particularly single out.
Okay, now what don't you like about UK commercial property investment trusts?
Well, I think in a cyclical downturn, one can see those premium ratings eroding further, and the problem is that it can become something of a self-fulfilling prophecy as people see the premiums running off and discounts appearing against a net asset value that might be falling. You get more selling pressure, and the discounts that were achieved, albeit in quite stressed situations post the great financial crisis in 2008-09, were very wide. There is quite considerable discount downside risk.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, not just thinking about the investment trust, but about this asset class in particular, to what extent do Brexit concerns influence your view on these investment trusts and on this asset class?
You know, I'm not altogether sure whether that is to the forefront of people's thinking in terms of the future for commercial property. Clearly at the margin, one might expect some movement from the financial sector. But again, I think it will be marginal. So, demand looks reasonably healthy even now.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Some really interesting points there. And you can see Emma's full update with Jason Bagley in this week's magazine and the website. An area that's been very popular with investors over the past few years has been infrastructure investment trusts, in part because of the attractive income they offer. But despite their popularity, there are less than 10 of these trusts. It's a relatively new sector which has only been going since 2006. However, these should soon be joined by another trust. But this is going to be a bit different to the existing trusts. Peter, turning first of all to the existing broad infrastructure trusts on offer, can you tell us a bit about the sector and what you think about them as an investment proposition?
Yeah, well, you're right, Leonora, it's a relatively new area of the sector. The limited number of funds collectively are running almost 10 billion in the area now. And I think the attractions, above and beyond the dividend yield attractions is that these funds should be relatively stable, should be relatively less volatile than equity markets in general. Although the Labour Party conference obviously threw a spanner into the works in terms of the Shadow Chancellor looking to take back many of these contracts.
And we've seen PFI and PPP contracts PFI that they invest PPP, in, yeah.
Which is somewhat ironic considering it was the previous Labour government that actually put most of those contracts
in place. Very different
type
of Labour government
indeed.
Administration.
Indeed. So that's caused quite a bit of consternation in the sector, and ratings came off quite a bit in the aftermath of that. There's been quite a bit of information flow in terms of what the impact of that might be in the future. So it's injected a little bit more volatility into an area which one would assume normally to be relatively stable. But the prospect of index-linked income and rising income over time, I think makes this a very appropriate and interesting area. And I can see it growing in importance in the investment trust sector over time.
Mm. I mean, you mentioned, obviously, these comments at the Labour Party conference, which made them come off a bit, a.k.a. the premiums have come down a bit. I mean, I'd say one of the downsides to the infrastructure investment was the high premiums. With them on slightly lower premiums, do you think that makes them, a good, you know, more attractive, perhaps even a good time to go into, because, you know, a politician who's not even elected can say one thing, but who knows, right? But these, you know, that wouldn't be till after the election anyway. These trusts, like you say, have got a lot of attractions, and now they're on slightly lower ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. There seems to be quite a bit more clarity on the potential impact, and you know, there is evidence that there has been buying interest in recent weeks. Again, I think it's because of my lack of requirement for income that it's not something that I'm rushing to look at the moment. And to be perfectly frank, I always struggle to buy any fund on a premium to NAV, regardless of the apparent attractions.
Okay. Now, a new kid is soon to come to the block, Tripillar Infrastructure. This is going to be a bit different to the existing trusts. Can you explain a bit?
It comes from a very experienced and well-respected management team, formerly with the John Lang infrastructure team, and it's going to be investing more globally, initially mainly in continental Europe, in the UK, with some North American exposure, but over time it's going to have probably 50-50 between Europe, including UK, and North America. They seem to have a very extensive pipeline of potential investment opportunities going forward. And I think, you know, it would be helpful for the sector to have a more globally, geographically diversified fund offering. You know, clearly that will come with greater risks, including currency risk. And, it's an interesting addition, I think, to the sector.
I mean, on the subject of the risk, the overseas assets, I mean, how much riskier is that going to make it than, let's say, UK infrastructure funds focused on the likes of PFI and PPP?
Yeah, I mean, I really struggle with currencies. I've, you know, met many fund managers over the years, and I don't think I've ever found anyone that has successfully managed to manage currency risk on a consistent basis. I suspect that those that can probably own their own Caribbean islands by now. you know, clearly this introduces an added layer of risk, and, you know, it might enhance returns and it might not. But, you know, over the long term, one would expect the currency angle to even itself out over time. If you tend to believe that you know, the UK economy is going to continue to struggle post-Brexit, then perhaps having some more overseas assets and overseas currencies will be beneficial. But I can't really make a currency forecast.
Okay. Now, turning back to the existing funds, if investors who want a fund with a good income profile but don't want to pay the high premiums you get with most of existing funds, what could be a good alternative in the investment trust space?
It's going to be very difficult to achieve the sort of yields that are available on the infrastructure funds. You know, clearly there are a number of funds in the UK income growth sector which deliver yields, you know, of up to 4%. And I think for people that are looking to the longer term and focusing on total return, you know, I think they are a good alternative. But, you know, if you need that higher level of dividend income today, it's quite difficult to find in the sector at the moment.
Thank you, Peter. Some really helpful points there. That brings us to the end of today's show. We can read more on investment trusts, Standard Life Investments Property Income Trust, and Tripillar's infrastructure forthcoming launch in this week's issue of Investors Chronicle on the website. Thank you for listening and have a good weekend.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.